Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
Let's have fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Hour number two of Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo, and Andre Champagne. We take a break from all the Lane Kiffin talk, and we talk a little LSU men's basketball. The Tigers will be in Niceville, Florida this week. They'll take on Drake on Friday night. That will be their first game. And then they'll play another game on Saturday. Coach Matt McMahon's team is off to a 5-0 start, coming off a 99-73 win over Omaha, and Coach Matt McMahon joins us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Coach, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you having me on here this Thanksgiving week.
So after the game against Omaha where you scored 99 points, did Kim Mulkey send you a text saying, hey, if you're not scoring 100, you're not trying? Did you get that text message?
We can't keep up with Coach Mulkey. She's got 115 every night. It's amazing to watch them play, how easily they score that ball.
Hey, Coach, you know, you aren't keeping up with her in terms of the points scored, but you're scoring an amazing amount of points. I mean, that's 98 points a game you're averaging through five games, and your shooting percentage is like out of this world.
Well, I like the unselfishness that we're playing with, Todd. I think, you know, we're getting high quality shots. You know, it always starts with your point guard. When your point guard has 38 assists and only 6 turnovers, it means the offense is probably running pretty well. And, you know, I think a big key to the 99 points a game has been our ability to get to the free throw line. You know, we've gotten there. I think we're plus 67 in the five games and points scored from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have when you put it all together as we did Friday night, now we're not going to go 15-33 from three every night, but when you're shooting it at that level, with DJ at the point and then the physicality of your inside game, that's when we can be at our very best offensively.
You know, I've had two different people tell me that in these first five games that they've watched, you know, your guys play, that they look like a solid SEC team just because of the physical nature and the way they're playing the game. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I mean, that's how we – I know you and I talked about it a lot in the offseason. That's how we intentionally built our structure. We had the opportunity to go out and build an SEC team. And, you know, as you know, this is the most physical league in the country, the most athletic league in the country. So that starts with your front court. When you look at Nwoko at 6'10", 260, and then, you know, obviously thrilled to get Jalen Reed back early, and he's off to a great start, especially considering he missed 11 months, but you know, he's 6'10", 250, and then Rob Miller with a 7'5 wingspan at almost 6'11", and then, you know, the guy's kind of been unsung for us in the front court. It's been the energy and activity level of Pablo Tamba, and you know, he's leading us in offensive rebounding. He had 13 rebounds on Friday night, just does a lot of the dirty work for us there in the front court.
Hey, man, I am just so impressed with so many aspects of this team. Markel Sutton is so versatile. Outside shooter, he can get in there and mix it up and get rebounds. Deedon Thomas Jr., your point guard, has been phenomenal. And I really like Max McKinnon on the wing there. And then my goodness, you're playing really well, and you don't even need to start Jalen Reed. Nwokwo doesn't miss a shot. Is Jalen not starting because you're kind of bringing him back slowly, or is it that just the rotation you're in right now?
Yeah, a combination of all of that. I think as we talked in the offseason, the plan was for Jalen to get back in mid-December. And so he was way ahead of schedule, was on a minutes restriction early in our exhibition game and then the first couple weeks of the season. So it's just kind of the way it's played out. But, you know, I agree with you 100% on those guys you listed. You know, a big key for us has been Markel's versatility to be able to move him to the wing at 6'9", 230 pounds, as a guy who's shooting it so well from three and then getting almost 10 rebounds a game. Obviously, DJ, you have 17 assists, zero turnovers in the last two games. And then when Max can shoot it like that for us, as he did on Friday, you know, you forget he's a legit 6'6". At the two guard position and a really smart player. So I think overall, Glenn, the biggest key has just been the balance. And then there is some depth in key positions. As you mentioned, anytime you're bringing a guy like Jalen Reed off the bench, it means you got some good players on the floor.
Coach, you're, you know, you're 5-0, and as we talked about, you've been really blowing people out. But now something's going to happen this weekend. You're going to be on the road for the first time, and you're going to be on the road for the next five games, really. Well, four for sure, and then the fifth one's in New Orleans, so that's somewhat of a road game. But also the schedule, Sonic, gets a little more difficult. And
right.
So what are you looking for this weekend, and what are you looking for as you go into the games with Boston College and Texas Tech on the road and then SMU in New Orleans?
Well, I think everything you just said there, Todd, obviously business is about to pick up for us. I think a couple things that were done with intentionality. Number one was the exhibition game on the road at Central Florida. We wanted to have that experience because we knew we were going to have this four-week stretch where we don't play in the PMAC. And I think that was really beneficial for us on and off the court as a team. And then the early season schedule was built under the premise we would not have Jalen Reed. So to be able to work him in and get him rolling was a huge advantage. I think it also enabled us to really build our team chemistry. And then the final piece of it, which was really important, because they do give you a starting point in the computer rankings, we really needed to raise our computer ranking profile, and we were able to do that by about 25 places because of our efficiencies offensively and defensively. So now as the schedule gets, you know, obviously much more difficult, I think for us defensively, I love our field goal percentage defensive numbers. 38% our opponents are shooting. But two areas, we haven't turned our opponents over very much, only 10 a game. And we've given up 12 offensive rebounds a game. We need to get better in those two areas so we can cut down on our opponent's possessions. I think that's really the biggest key for us. And then the rest of it, we're all going to find out together, Todd.
Right.
You know, is how do some of the things that have been really good for us through five games, how do those things translate, you know, as we go to some of these Power Five games that are coming up in the next couple weeks?
Well, switching subjects really quick, and I know Glenn's got another question for you, but
sure.
You mentioned Dedan's assist to turnover ratio, but the team overall has a 1.5 assist to turnover ratio right now, which is really good for a team. So you know he's not the only one making passes and turning them into buckets.
No, I agree. I really like it. I think, you know, it's one of the underestimated or undervalued portions of Max McKinnon's game. He's been a 4+ assist a game type guy throughout his career, and he's 15 assists, only 9 turnovers. And Jalen Reese is getting better as our backup point guard. He's over a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So, you know, offensively, Todd, we want to play assisted basketball. We want to create good shots for each other. And I think we've done that pretty effectively. And then defensively, we want the opponent to have to play unassisted basketball, a lot of one-on-one. And right now we're seventh in the country and fewest assists allowed. And so we want to continue down that path on as it relates to valuing the ball and sharing it offensively and also, you know, preventing easy shots on our defensive end.
Seventh in the country and fewest assists allowed. That's a pretty good stat. Matt, let me ask you, how quickly did the LSU players adapt to the fact that you got to be ready for a pass as soon as Deedon passed half court line, man? John Brady has said that a few times during the game broadcast. I mean, he on defense against him, they better be ready.
Well, I think Coach Brady hits the nail on the head there. I mean, if I were a guard, which I was back in my day, as soon as we got the ball, I'd be sprinting down that wing as fast as I could because he's going to pitch it ahead to you for open threes. You saw that a lot on Friday night. If you have the size and athleticism of a Mike Nwoko, I'm going to go ball screen and I'm going to roll as hard as I can because I know he's going to throw those lobs to me. It's just, you know, it's a fun way to play the game. And I do think DJ's also a really capable scorer. I think that played average 16 a game at UNLV last year. So I think that's what makes him so difficult to guard, as he can score it himself, but he loves creating for others.
Yeah,
really unselfish.
Right. You said that to us before the season, that you had to kind of tell him to shoot more. And I think your last game, I think he had like 12 in the first half, and he barely, I don't think he scored much in the second half, because he's the true point guard, isn't he?
He is. He had 15 points, to your point. He had 15 points with 25 minutes left in the game. I don't think he took another shot. He went to the free throw line one time, but other than that, he just kept getting his teammates involved and getting them open looks. So I know I'd love to play with a guy like that. He makes the game easier for you.
So, Matt, when you look at the upcoming schedule, what is the scouting report on Drake, and what is Georgia Tech and DePaul? What are they looking like?
Yeah, Todd, Drake is coming off a 31-win season and then had a coaching change. So, like, you know, every program in the country now, a lot of new faces from the portal. They're putting it all together. They just had their best game of the year. They won by double figures on the road against a really good Charleston team. I think the big key to that was they had a season high. They made 11 threes. They have two wings that have made 25 threes between them at 50%. So defending that three-point line will be critical for us on Friday night. They also have a really good point guard who transferred over from Loyola Chicago, who's leading them in scoring at 15 a game. And then their two bigs are both in double figures. 6'9", transfer from South Carolina, and then a 6'6", just bruising four-man, who is also a fourth-year transfer. So I think defending the three-point line, they don't make many mistakes. They're like us. They're dominating their opponents from the free-throw line, so I think that'll be a key stat. And then, you know, can we get the pace of the game to our liking? DePaul, Georgia Tech, I've just given a little sneak peek there. You know, Georgia Tech has, you know, two NBA front court players on the roster, so great size there. And then DePaul, you know, I think a much improved team from a year ago. So it'll be two great opportunities for us, and hopefully we can keep building on the momentum of the start. And obviously, we know we got a lot of getting better to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, Coach.
Happy Thanksgiving, Coach. We appreciate it. We got to run here as we are up against the break. But have a great week, and hopefully when you guys are through this weekend, you're 7-0. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. And eat well.
All right. More of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back here from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was the life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Ross Dellinger will join us coming up in the next segment from Yahoo Sports. Look forward to getting his thoughts on where we're at with the coaching search. Do have to give a shout-out of congratulations here to Mansoor Delane being a finalist for the Jim Thorpe Award for a lost season here for LSU. Pretty impressive that this kid has emerged as one of the top defensive players in the country, a potential number one pick. You know, we were not a number one overall pick, but a first round pick, I should say, potentially. You know, we were talking about a lot of the misses in the transfer portal, but that's one they certainly got right. And he's made a big difference in that defensive secondary.
And he's been injured since fall camp. We found out last week, you know, abdominal injury, and he's been managing his pain every game just so that he could play. And he's been targeted like only like 34 times or something this entire season.
He's only given up 147 reception yards.
That's insane.
13 total catches or 11 total catches.
I think 13.
Like that.
I think
now he doesn't have to throw passes with an abdominal.
That's
tear,
true,
but still difficult to play. And, you know, he's a cover corner, so he, you know, they don't have to make as many tackles as the others. But, I mean, obviously,
well, actually,
he's in on tackles.
He was such an effective cover corner.
That
even
they
with
didn't
it,
throw at him.
That
yeah.
they didn't throw at him.
Right,
so.
Right. So he had to have contact. Yeah, he's been a heck of a player. I would say he's likely to be the only first-round pick off of this team this draft, would you say?
Yes, I would think so.
I
don't think Harold Perkins is a first round pick.
I think that if you have a plan for Harold Perkins, he is a first round pick. I think that depends on where he would fall in the draft. I think that there's like the Dallas Cowboys, for instance.
Yeah,
I think Nussmeier will still be a first round pick.
I don't.
Mm. Well, this is what I was going to say about
Nussmeier. Based on now. I think based on his workouts and Senior Bowl.
Well,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What if this guy, what if Nussmeier does get over this abdominal strain in time for the Senior Bowl, really plays well in the Senior Bowl, plays or does whatever in the combine and all that. I don't know if he can make it all the way back up to a first-round pick. We'll see. But he certainly it's just amazing how night and day it was from 2025 to 2024.
One good thing I think he does have in his favor, which is not related to his season this year, but it's like the worst quarterback class in the last 5 years or five seasons or something like that is what a lot of the NFL scouts are saying. So there's not too many teams that are going to want to draft a quarterback number one in this draft pick as we head into the combine and something like that. So if he does have a good combine and he's impressive and somebody needs a quarterback like the Saints, you know, or something like that. But I really hope he doesn't get drafted by the Saints.
I always hope that players don't get drafted by the Saints. Yeah.
Not with this current regime in place, that's for sure. Yeah. Is Michael Van Buren salvageable?
I think Michael Van Buren has the tools to be a starting quarterback, and I think I said this on a recent show, but I'm not sure that he has the tools to be the starting quarterback for LSU next season, certainly not under Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I don't think he's I don't think he's an SEC regular starting quarterback either, unless you're on the lower tier. But you know, it's still early with him. He's shown some flashes. He could get better. He's got some potential. But I think you're gonna see Lane bring in probably two or three quarterbacks going into next season.
I'm not joking. If he can get, he's trying to get Trinidad Chambliss, his quarterback right now, an extra year of eligibility. He talked about it last week in his press conference. And if they are successful in doing that, I would not be surprised if he comes here.
Well, he's a quarterback coach and a play caller, and LSU has never had one of those as the head coach.
Ole Miss, by the way, number 7 in the college football playoff rankings, and they would, based on the 12-team bracket right now, they would host Alabama in the college football playoffs. That certainly would be, Glenn, the biggest sporting event ever in the state of Mississippi if that does happen.
And Lane would so badly want to coach that game because he has never beaten Alabama. I would let him do it.
Yeah, well, the top four, by the way, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia. Also, Oregon leapfrogs Ole Miss. Oregon gets the win over USC. Let's see, number 8 and 9. It's Oklahoma's 8, Notre Dame's 9, Alabama's 10, and Miami's 11, Tulane is 12.
Wow.
How about that?
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Auburn's going to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. They're going to fire Kalen DeBoer, and they're going to hire Lane Kiffin away from LSU.
Auburn will not beat Alabama.
How about if Mississippi State beats Ole Miss, LSU beats Oklahoma, and Auburn beats Alabama?
Fantasy.
Ole Miss fantasy. The only
way that LSU is going to score enough points to beat Oklahoma is if Berry and Brown returns two or three kickoffs for touchdowns.
You know, if Brian Kelly has not been fired yet by LSU as they try to decide what's going on there, I wonder if you can give him the losses the last few games. You know, they gave Coach K the wins when he got sick, you know, when he wasn't coaching. Maybe they can give BK those losses.
Maybe so. You're good point, Glenn. All right, Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports joins us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins' products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
We are back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gobel and Todd Horn. And let's bring in our next guest from Yahoo Sports, former writer for The Advocate, and is one of the more, the bigger insiders, if you would, when it comes to college football news. Had a great story on Friday breaking down some of the contract details of what LSU is preparing to offer Coach Lane Kiffin if he decides to leave Ole Miss for LSU. And, Ross, we bring you on the show now. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing well. We are doing very well. Still feeling like, or is still seeing, based on everybody that you talk to, all your sources, it's still looking like Lane to LSU. That seems to be the track we're going here.
It seems like it. I think I was just putting out a story tonight about sort of an update on the carousel from the national perspective. It feels like, Florida has sort of shifted their attention to other candidates, which is usually a sign. And Ole Miss has sort of began the early, I think, phases of searching for a potential replacement, and LSU's been fairly quiet and everybody's been fairly confident down in Baton Rouge. So all the signals would lead you to believe that they seem to be the favorite right now. But as I tell people often, all this stuff is so unpredictable and things can change at the 11th hour, especially when you're dealing with someone like Lane Kiffin.
So, Ross, what do you think it is about Lane Kiffin? I mean, we got a lot of time with you, and so let's just break this down, do a psychological analysis on Lane Kiffin. Why is he always chasing? Hadn't he calmed down? What's going on?
He's been there 6 years. He's been there 6 years.
He's been there 6 years, 2 years in, or 3 years in. He had an offer to leave for Auburn. He did not take it, mostly because of his family and his situation with his family. You know, Lane has found, and I was just there 2 weeks ago sitting down with him in his office. It's clear Lane has found happiness in Oxford. He's found health. He quit drinking about 5 years ago. He works out every morning. He's back with his kids. Two of the three kids are now living in Oxford. One goes to Ole Miss. Another one's a junior or a sophomore in high school. His ex-wife is even back. They're sort of raising the kids. He said he wakes up every morning and he is happy to be there. But I think there's this other thing pulling at Lane, which is there are these blue blood championship type programs that he grew up dreaming that he would be coaching for. And as he said it to me when I was in there, Ole Miss necessarily wasn't the final chapter or what he envisioned to be the final chapter of his coaching career. And he sounded like a person that was torn of leaving a place that perhaps in this new era of college football can build a championship team. He seems like he has one. They're 10-1, ranked number 6-7 in the country, versus going to somewhere that a historic blue blood type of powerhouse that has won championships and proven that you can win championships in the recent past. And
it sounds like, you know, sort of an internal struggle he was having when I visited, and maybe he's still having today. But I can tell you this, you know, if Florida is acting, like I mentioned earlier, Florida's sort of acting like, you know, they've sort of moved on and they're at least going down the road with some other candidates, which tells me that this may be a Ole Miss versus LSU sort of decision. And if that's the case, right now in Oxford is what I would call not the greatest situation. Lane has the decisions that he's made with his family visiting Baton Rouge and Gainesville, the constant tweeting up until this week when clearly he was told or encouraged not to tweet anymore, and he has stopped. But in general, there's just a lot of like toxicity there. And for him to return and sign the extension under pressure that he won't be able to coach the playoff if he doesn't, you know, sign the extension, would still, to me, be a surprise given the nature of everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks and how people feel there right now.
Hey, Ross, thanks for joining us tonight, Haas. Let me ask you.
Ross or Haas?
Ross, who I call Haas. Does Lane think that he is he trying to convince? Has he tried in the past to convince Ole Miss, or is he doing it now to let him coach in the playoffs? Does he think that that's a possibility that he could coach in the playoffs and still leave, or does he realize that that probably won't happen?
I'm thinking that at this point, Glenn, that he realizes that's not going to happen. He probably would like it to happen. I'm just assuming that part, but it's pretty clear that Ole Miss administration has made the decision, and I wrote a little about that on Yahoo Sports tonight and kind of my carousel, coaching carousel reset, is that they've made the decision that he's not coaching the playoff unless he commits to them. And I think they wanted that commitment last week. They didn't get it. And so they sort of granted him another week, you know, to finish out the regular season and then to make the decision on Saturday. And what's funny about that statement that Keith Carter, the athletic director at Ole Miss, put out after him and Lane and the chancellor met, and it should be noted that the chancellor of the university was in that meeting with Lane Kiffin, and that is not an insignificant detail. Mm-hmm. And after they put out that statement after the meeting that basically said there would be announcement Saturday. And to me, I think that was a very public deadline that Keith Carter put on Lane Kiffin of Saturday. And if Lane Kiffin on Saturday or by Saturday does not make a decision or either to leave, to tell them that he's leaving after the season, regular season, or to sign the extension, if he doesn't make a decision, I am convinced that they will make the decision for him.
So are you saying they will fire him at that point?
No, unlikely. And part of that is obviously he would be owed a huge buyout, and you're firing a coach who's 11-1 or 10-2.
What is that buyout, Ross?
They could always rescind it later.
Yeah, his buyout is, you know, I think it's 40-plus million, 35 million, somewhere around there, I believe.
But what's his buyout if he were to leave to come to LSU? What would LSU be on the hook
very,
for?
Very little, very little. Like, I can't remember that. It's insignificant, right? Okay. Which by today's standards, it's insignificant. 2 or 3 million, maybe.
Yeah, I read four. I read four.
Yeah, maybe. I think it goes. I want to say I get all the buyouts to leave confused, but there's dates. There's dates where it goes up, and I think it goes from 3 to 4 million or something like that. So it's around there, right? It's less than five,
right.
So it's fairly insignificant. But they would not fire him. I do not expect that. They probably would put him on leave, or there would be some suspension, probably based on his actions. That's sort of the expectation, I think, if he doesn't make a decision. But of course, like, it would surprise me if it would get to that, right? Because if they make that decision, that would push him out the door. He would just leave.
Ross, have you ever heard of a head coach? Obviously, it would have been in a different playoff format, of a head coach who stayed on and coached a team through the national championship game, knowing and everybody knowing that he would leave. I know of assistant coaches that's happened to, like Bo Pelini and Mark Richt before he went to Georgia. But of a sitting head coach, you know, has that ever happened?
You know, we were some friends and I and bosses were kind of talking a little bit about that. And there's one of them that comes to mind. It's not football. It's
Michigan.
It's basketball, yeah. And it's, I think it was Michigan State or no Michigan.
Michigan
back
Michigan.
In the
Bill Frieder.
Yeah, back a while ago. Yeah, yeah. So there's that example where Bo Schembechler just, you know, fired him before the, because Bo Schembechler, I think at that time, was the AD, right?
Yes, he was.
Right.
He fired him, and so there's that example. But like in college football. And especially any time in the, like, you know, modern history of the game, the last, you know, 30 to 50 years, I don't know of one. And I can tell you, I can promise you, that is not going to happen. They have made that decision. There is no way that the new LSU football coach is going to be coaching Ole Miss in the playoffs.
Ross, do you believe that – this is Andre. Do you believe that maybe – that itself, as well as maybe the, I guess, the donor from the Ole Miss side reaction from him kind of entertaining the deals, do you think that's hurting Ole Miss as well?
Well, I mean, I think I mentioned it earlier, like, you know, toxic is probably too strong of a word to describe what's going on there, but it's not far off. I mean, it's there are people there, whether it's staff members, players, and certainly administrators, donors, very big donors, that are not real happy about how things have been handled by Lane. And so I think all of this sort of messiness, whether it's the tweeting or the family visiting and him not telling Ole Miss about that and them finding out in other ways, I think all of that is sort of impacting all the decisions there and may impact the team. I mean, they have to go down and they're going to play a very improved Mississippi State team at their place with all this distraction. And it's been made fairly clear to me too, that, you know, if he loses, if they lose the Egg Bowl, I think there's a lot of people that will point the finger at Lane Kiffin. And, man, it'd be really hard to see him returning to the school if that happens.
Well, I, you know, just to support what you just said, I know for a fact that there's a large Ole Miss donor that does business in the state of Louisiana that is very unhappy with the entire situation, and he's basically done with it.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny to me because Lane Kiffin's the best coach Ole Miss has ever had since Johnny Vaught. And they wouldn't be anywhere near where they are without him. So I think they should temper their anger somewhat if that anger is toward Lane Kiffin.
No hope for that, Glenn.
Yeah. Right. The holiday season's right around the corner. But no,
I mean, do you want Matt Luke? Matt Luke never brought up this problem. He didn't get a job offer.
Wow. Ross, happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate it. Look forward to more of your reporting on this
Thank
and the
you.
Other coaching vacancies. We appreciate your time tonight.
All right, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ross.
Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. Let's take a break. Let's hear a little from Jay Johnson when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, Jeff, Todd, Glenn, and Andre Champagne, who has some audio from Jay Johnson, who spoke on Monday as LSU has wrapped up fall ball. We have very little time here, so let's get right to them. Andre, what do you got cooked up for us here as far as some of the things that Jay Johnson had to say to the media on Monday?
So Jay, first off, he said it's not like him to do this, but he's actually cut fall ball pretty early than he normally does, just because you know, he's seen enough from his roster so far and the work that they've put in, so that'll be the first thing coming up here.
I did something a little abnormal for me, to be honest with you. I felt like we got to a good place to stop with this team, and we actually could have played this last week, and I decided not to play because I felt like the right amount of hay was in the barn, and not that it would have been counterproductive, but I didn't see the productivity in playing a purple and gold World Series just for what this team needed right now. And that was on both sides of it. We actually have fewer position players than we've had, and so they got more at bats. So I felt like that group was kind of at a good point to stop and shift what a lot of them needed. And then the pitching, I felt like we were in a good spot to do what we do, which is deload and then reload into the season. And your pitching staffs, your offensive line, and their health it's going to determine whether you can have a successful season or not. So we stopped a little bit earlier just out of my own kind of intuition.
Seems like fall ball has been going on forever, though. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like it's – I mean, you have all these intra-squad games and all that. I mean, this fall ball thing has really been extended to what it – maybe I'm completely wrong on that, but it seems like they've been going at it for a long time now.
Well, sounds like I just hope Jay has a better offensive line than Kelly had.
Yeah, I know. That scared me whenever he said that. I was like, oh, no, not the dreaded O-line.
Yeah. We follow baseball to get away from the O-line. What is he talking about?
Is he bullish on the offensive line, too?
Oh, God. Don't ever – that should be a word that no one at LSU could ever use again.
That and receipts. Yeah. No more.
There's a Andre has a great story on the on the press conference yesterday that's up on Tiger Rag right now. And Jay's got a great quote in there talking about his pitchers. And he's saying just how versatile they are. You know, he's got starters. He's got closers. He's got guys that can go in and just get three outs. And he's got lefties. He's got guys that can flip and be a reliever or be a starter. And he's got Gavin Guidry back too, which Andre's going to have a story on that in Tiger Rag in the morning. Speaking of Tiger Rag, we also got an interesting story on Lane Kiffin and how he is following in his dad's footsteps as a nomadic coach. Some very interesting quotes from Lane about his dad at his press conference yesterday. And I'm reading the tea leaves. It makes it sound like he's going to move again like his dad did. So that's on Tiger Rag right now on the website.
All right. Okay, we got to take another break. Maybe we'll get into another Jay Johnson or cut two. We got one more segment to go, so don't go away. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac Standby Generators.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
All right, last segment of the show. Andre, you got a couple more sound bites here with Jay before we head out for the night?
I could probably just play the first one because I don't know if we're going to have time for both. But the second one is about Cade Arambidi being the best player in fall ball. So that's what Jay said today. That's sophomore catcher Cade Arambidi. Give me 1 second.
You just need time. I thought Cade probably was the best player on the team for the fall. No question about that. Was the quality at bat champion. Almost over like 650, which against our pitching staff is a pretty good number. Caught through well, managed the pitching staff, did a great job.
No, he really improved as the season went along last year and really became, a significant part of that team towards the end of the year. Looking forward to seeing what he can do his sophomore season. He's been
mashing the ball in all of fall, and he's definitely, just looking from the stats, he's been one of the best hitters.
Would you say that Jay's bullish on this team?
You know what? I'd actually take his word for it, though.
Well, we need football season to end. Can't end soon enough. That were my thoughts as I watched that 13-10 slugfest class.
I can sense.
If you think
Saturday.
That was boring, where do you see this Saturday?
Oh man,
well, at least one of the teams will be good. Though,
yeah, but their offense sucks as bad as LSU's does.
I can send.
That's a big statement. Now
I might be able to send the listeners off with some interesting information that I've learned from one of my close Ole Miss sources that swears on this. They said that Lane Kiffin's Bentley got towed today on campus.
Uh-oh. Wow.
That sounds like...
That might be the last straw.
Lashing out.
Who do these Ole Miss people think they are, man?
My problem is that Lane Kiffin drives a Bentley. It's like, I don't like that, you know?
It's a cool car.
I want him to drive a four-wheel drive lifted.
You want him the F-150?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What decade are you from?
Well, I can tell you, Coach O wasn't driving it. The Audi hatchback that Brian Kelly was driving.
Well, what do you guys think? He brings up Coach O. How quick does Coach O join his staff?
It's wide open for him, right? It's all up to Lane.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then people need to remember that. Lane will be hiring the coaches, okay? And I don't know if he's going to keep a lot of coaches.
Not Scott Woodward.
No, Scott Woodward not Verge. And I think at the most two of this staff will stay, maybe just one.
Who would that be? Who would be the one? Frank?
I'm not sure.
I think Corey Raymond better be one.
Corey Raymond would be a good one. Frank would be a good one. But as we said, Frank's doing a good job holding the recruiting class together. Yeah. So that would be good. And Corey would be an excellent one as well.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Should be an interesting weekend and an early part of next week. For Glenn, Todd, Andre, I'm Jeff Palermo. This has been Tiger Rag Radio. Thanks for listening.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.